Welcome back to Real Walk Podcast. I am your host, Kiara, and I'm so glad you're here. For the last month, actually, I would say it's been a really, 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 really busy month for me, with work, ministry, the podcast, and just a bunch of other things going on as well. I am trying to find balance in everything, and it's not easy, but having, you know, people that support you and people who hold you accountable to things also is the greatest blessing ever. But the last month, yeah, it's been a little crazy, but there's a lot of new exciting things coming for the pod, and I'm so excited for you guys to just tune into, like, even the next episodes and stuff, because I just filmed with my first ever guest on this podcast, and I'm not gonna reveal who it is just yet, but I am so excited, and I'm so blessed to be able to even have guests to speak, and it's gonna be happening for the next couple of months, to be honest. I'm still praying about, you know, who I want to have on here. I'm very, very particular about those things. And I think that you have to also protect the vision and protect what God has also given you. So being very wise on who I'm bringing on here, because as much as I would love to have everybody speak and just have conversations with people, but I want to make sure that people are also being filled and edified. It's my responsibility, so I'm so excited for the next couple of episodes, but make sure you tune in to the next episode, because that will be the first EP with a guest on it, so definitely tune into that. But I want to get straight into today. The last few months, I think honestly, since 2023, actually, I've been on this journey of really finding myself in Christ, and a lot of inner work, a lot of inner healing, a lot of God breaking so many things inside of me, but also healing so many things inside of me. And one of the things that I came across while I was in this journey and really just getting into the word and things like that, was that fear is such a stronghold, and understanding what fear really looks like and understanding what the fear of God looks like as well. I named this episode Fear Is Not My Future, and the reason why is because I feel like lately I've been talking to a lot of people, and something that has been occurring in most conversations is I'm scared of what can happen, or I'm scared of the future, literally. And I have found myself in places like that too, where I'm kind of scared of what's going to happen, and I'm scared of things not going the way that I wish they would go, and God intervening in my life. And I want to have this conversation to kind of have that put that ease of mind in a lot of people, because I'm still learning in applying certain things in my life, as anyone is, but that is part of the walk, that is part of serving the Lord. It does not come easy. It is very difficult, but I was talking to a friend, and I was sharing how, you know, with this episode, I wanted to really focus on that. I feel like sometimes we kind of run away from this topic a little bit just because we're like overwhelmed by it. And I have found myself even running away from it, and the fear of what can be, or the fear of what can't be. And as I was like talking with this friend of mine, we started talking about the fear of God. And it was funny because when they had asked me, you know, what do you think the fear of God is? a few weeks prior, I had really started to understand. God started revealing to me what the fear of God looked like. And many times in this walk too, you hear that phrase a lot, like, you need to fear God, you need to fear God, and this, that, and the other, and you hear it in so many different places. And to be honest with you, I just really found out what that really meant. And like I said, the revelation that God was giving me, because I was literally asking God, it doesn't make sense when people say that. I don't understand that. I don't understand how people can say, oh, fear you, but God, you're not scary. You know, you're a God of wrath, but you're not scary. You're a loving God. You're so compassionate. And as time was going by and reading and just in my word and stuff, God started revealing that it's not to fear me. It's the fear of living without me. Ugh. And I literally, oh my God, when God literally spoke that to me, I was like, oh my gosh, everything now is starting to make sense. And many of us, we live our lives, and especially when we're coming to Christ for the very first time, and like I said, you hear that phrase, you kind of don't understand, you know, well, why do I have to be afraid of him? And for me, growing up in the Latin culture, but also growing up in the faith, I became fearful of God I became fearful of God in the sense that if I did something wrong, I couldn't go to God. Or if I messed up, I had to go run and hide in shame. And it wasn't until God started breaking things in me and there was actual healing happening that I realized that God is actually such a loving God. And he's so, so, so comforting in our time of need as well. And it's not, we don't go to God just when we need something. We go to God because he is God. In every season, we should be leaning on God. And that's why the word says, it is not on your own strength. So in those times where I was kind of like, well, what I was taught was this idea of God that was scary. And I began to run and hide in shame and guilt rather than run to him with all of my doubts, with all of my questions. And I think that is the number one tactic of the enemy, is to make us feel like we are nothing, or make us feel like we're not enough to come to God. But God is literally seeking. God is literally seeking for us to just come to him with every single piece of us. We do not need to come perfect. And I think I was speaking with a couple people. I mean, I was also listening to something that was talking about how, you know, some people think that you have to come to the Lord like all clean and perfect and whatever. And I've kind of shared this on here before too, is that it wouldn't make sense for us to go to the doctors when we don't need the doctor. You don't go to a hospital when you're good. Like, you go to a hospital because you're broken, or you go to a hospital because you're sick. And God wants the same thing. God wants us to come to him because he knows that we are imperfect beings. So even when it seems like, quote unquote, even when it seems like you're good, there's some piece of you, some part of you that still needs healing. There's some part of you that still needs a healer. We need a savior. And that is why God sent his son. That is why God literally sacrificed his own son, because he knew that everything that we were going through, and he knew that everything that we were dealing with in our lives, in this current life that we're living, that it could not pay, it cannot amount to what Jesus did for us. So that's why we needed someone to pay that price for us. And that's how that right there just shows you how much God actually loves us, that he was able to give his one and only son. But as I was saying, you know, going into the topic of fear, it can be very, honestly, it's really scary to think of your life and to be very black and white. Sometimes it's really scary. I think most of the time it's really scary when you do not have anything figured out for yourself. I think I have found myself in seasons, and there's even literally, I'm in a season right now too where I'm like, God, I'm literally just following everything that you want for me. Like, I'm not going to keep planning things for then my plans to fail. And although God is a God of order and he's a God of structure, we also need to understand that his plans are completely different from ours. And to be honest with you guys, I'm such a planner. Like, every part of my life, I need to plan out, all right, if, you know, as a creative, right? If I'm going to create something, if I'm going to photograph something, like, I need to plan it out, how it's going to be, what I need to bring, this, that, and the other. And then when I go to execute it, if it does not go how I exactly wanted it to go, I get frustrated. And there's been times where I've done photo shoots, let's just say. I've done a photo shoot and I'm like, oh, this is not the lighting that I wanted. Or I see the photos later and I'm like, this could have been better. I could have changed this. I could have done this, that, and the other. But the beautiful thing about that is that it gives me another opportunity to be able to change certain things. And that's exactly what God is doing for us too. He gives us opportunities that we genuinely don't even deserve. There's been times where, let's put that into like the spiritual perspective, times where I have planned out my spiritual walk, or let's just say like how I expect to see myself in the next 2 years, 3 years. And God comes in, intervenes, and it doesn't go the way that I wanted it to go, but he intervenes because he is trying to align you to the path that he has created for you. And when I have been in those scenarios and I have, my life has completely flipped upside down, there's been times where I've gotten upset. And not too long ago, and even recently, I was having a conversation with someone about how, you know, sometimes we forget that we forgive other people, and just like the word says, we must forgive because we have been forgiven. Just like we forgive others, sometimes we forget to forgive God. And there's been multiple seasons in my life, and even right now, where I'm learning how to forgive God in a different form. There's other things that, you know, before I fully gave my life to Christ and stuff, I was really mad at God for giving me the life that I had, in the sense of being a pastor's kid. No one's fault. Literally no one's fault. My parents were literally walking in obedience. I was upset at the fact that there were things that I wished that I had when I was younger, in a more emotional state, or even physical things that I wish I could have experienced. But I had to learn how to forgive God in that sense, that one, that part of my life has passed. I'm a lot older now, but also that was not God's fault. That was my flesh feeling that way. So as I got older and things started happening, and now I'm more aware and I'm living my life how God is intending it to be for me, I've come across some seasons in my life where things completely change, and I'm like, God, what do you mean like this isn't happening anymore? Or like, what do you mean this isn't for me anymore. And it's not that it's not for you. It's just God is protecting you. And there's some things that we don't understand, and there's things that are going to occur because he needs to break us out of the idea of that our plans are the correct plans. Being, like I said, being a planner, when I have encountered certain parts of my life that are changing, especially being in this age too, you know, being 22, like, you, especially for me, because I am a social media manager, so I'm on social media like half of the time, and it's not necessarily for like recreational, like fun thing, like for fun. A lot of the time it's for work and or for ministry, let's say. So with having access to this so much, you start to kind of compare your life to other people, and you're like, geez, like, I'm 22 and I still don't have a house, or I'm 22 and I still am driving, for me, I'm still driving the same car since I was 16, which is a blessing, because it's a blessing and it's fully paid off. So, you know, but like, it's not a brand new car, and you kind of start comparing your life in that sense of, well, I don't have this and I don't have that, and I'm not here anymore and I'm not doing this anymore. Like, geez, do I really know what I want in life? And I think the beautiful thing about not having certain things in this life too is that you start to realize, and for me, I started to realize that none of that mattered. None of that mattered. And I'm still learning how to unlearn that, because it's part of our culture. It's part of our generation. You know, we're taught, we are flooded with all these things that we're seeing. So I'm unlearning a lot of things, and unlearning a lot of behaviors and mental spaces and things like that. So now, being in this state of, you know, it's okay to not fully understand or know exactly where you're going to be in the next 5 years. That was my biggest fear, actually, because seeing where my life was 3, 4, 5 years ago, you know, I was like 17, 18. And you think that it's the end of the world when you don't have certain things or when things don't go your way. But realizing that my world should literally be Jesus, it makes things a lot more easier. It makes it a lot easier to function in life. And there's been times too where I'll wake up and I'm like, geez, man, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to figure this out. I need to do this. But in this process, I've learned so much about myself. I have learned so much about who I am that honestly, I'm not worried on what is going to come, because I think that sometimes God is preparing you. God is molding you, and you can't allow things to paralyze you, because in this preparation season, I have fully started walking in what God has for me when I started to let go of what I had for me. And you cannot let anything paralyze you from God's purpose for you. And I posted on Instagram a reel that it was saying how I'm going to paraphrase this and just go into it, but when you let the things that you're dealing with control your life, you're pushing back what God has for you. When you are distracted with the things around you, you are literally pushing back the plans that God has for you. And I was talking with a friend the other day, and it was like a little group of us. We were talking how, you know, when you stay in a place and you choose willingly to stay in a place, you're pushing back God's plan. And understanding that and learning that really shifted my perspective, because I started realizing, like, I don't want what I have for me. Part of, you know, healing, and part of the walk and the process of a lot of things, comes a lot of heartbreak in many different forms, in many different areas, you know, heartbreak in losing people, or heartbreak in losing a job or career, or, you know, friends or whatever. And in that process, I have realized and I have learned that the whole point of this walk is to die to ourselves, right? So everything that we have, everything that we want, we literally have to let it die. I would rather be sad for a season than sad and broken in eternity. And I've had to say this to myself sometimes in my own space. Girl, eternity is gonna be so much more better. Like, just allow yourself, like, just trust and believe that God literally has it figured out. God literally has it figured out. I have had so many conversations of this one post that goes around on social media with Jesus that has like or Jesus and a little girl, and the little girl has like a small little bear in front of her, and then behind Jesus he has like this massive bear that he's holding, and he's like, just give me your little bear. And she's like, but like, I don't want to, like, this is all I have. And that's gonna make me emotional, oh my God. And a lot of the times we think and we hold on to certain things because it's like, well, God, like, this is all I have. This is all I wanted. I got it right now. Like, why can't I just keep it? And Jesus is like, it's not that you can't keep it. It's just I have something greater. Don't you want something better? Don't you want something that is literally 10 times bigger than what you could even imagine? But the idea of that, the idea of letting go, is actually scarier than receiving something greater. So that's why a lot of the times we get so scared of letting go of things, of literally placing them at the feet of God, because we are scared of the waiting season. We're scared of the in-between. And it's hard. It is hard because you're also kind of like, well, I don't know when it's coming. I don't know when my future is going to be figured out. I don't know when I'm going to have children. I don't know when I'm going to have the amazing house that I wanted and the husband or wife that I dream of. I don't know when that's going to come. So God, what do I do while I'm waiting? And I've said this on here before, and I said it in the last episode, we worship in the waiting. We worship. So in this waiting season, when we're waiting and we're being shaped and molded into the man or woman of God that God is calling you to be, although we don't know what's going on in the next 2, 5 years, 10 years, we still need to be so connected with Jesus. Because once we connect it with Jesus, and once we actually connect and understand that it's not scary. It is, but it isn't. And I think in any season, you're going to be terrified of certain things. Down to even like testimonies that I've heard, and with people older than me, let's say, you know, people that try to have children and they can't bear a child. It's very scary, and I can't imagine the feeling. But in that, when you're struggling with something like that, or when you're struggling in different seasons of your life, how are you worshiping God? How are you living your life? Not to receive a blessing, right? Because it's not a transactional relationship. It's a relationship. It's a union. It's a communion, like with Jesus himself. And it's not that we're just worshiping or whatever just to get something, gain something out of it. But God does honor us, and God does bless us. And sometimes it's like, for me right now, I'm in the season of like, I'm trying to figure out what a 22-year-old is supposed to be doing. And in another season, I'm going to be struggling with my teenage children. And in another season, I might have some conflict in my future marriage. Our seasons change. But what do we do while we're waiting in those seasons? What do we do when things are going wrong and they're not going the way that we planned them to go? You know, fear is what separates us from God. And I was literally having this conversation. If you are living in fear in certain parts of your life, and this is literally speaking to every single person right now, because there is some type of fear that we hold on to as human beings, because we cannot comprehend the love of God. We can literally not comprehend what unconditional love looks like. So there's things that we fear. There's either parts of our lives that we fear, or things that we're currently going through that has some type of fear tied to it. And fear and faith cannot live in the same place. Fear and faith cannot live in the same place. It's like that saying that's like, we can't serve two masters. Because faith, we understand, comes from the Lord. Fear is something that comes from the enemy. So although we're in seasons where we're like, I'm scared, God, but I trust you. I'm terrified of what's going to happen, but I trust you. I do not understand anything that is going on, because my plans failed and your plans are greater than my plans, but I'm trusting you. Faith isn't the things that you see, because that's not faith. You're just living according to your life, your idea of what faith, quote unquote, would look like. Well, if I see it like within my plans, like I should be good. No, it's when you do not see it whatsoever. There are things that I've prayed for, and I have a prayer journal, and I've talked about it before. I have a prayer journal that I would write certain specific things that I was praying for so that I could go back and look at my prayers. And there are some prayers that God still has not answered. And then there's also some prayers that God has answered, and God did exceedingly than what I imagined. But then there's also some prayers that God did answer, but he didn't answer them the way that I wanted them to be. And that's a scary part, is that we literally, it's literally like Russian roulette. Roulette? Yeah. Some words I can't say. It's literally like that, because it's kind of like, okay, well, here you go, God. Do what you gotta do, but like, don't do me dirty though. Like, God's like, no. If you're giving this to me, I'm taking control of it the way that I want to take control of it. And you can pray about it. You can fast on it. You can do whatever you want to do. But there are some things that God is literally going to change because the way that we see it isn't fit for the life that God has literally designed for us. And it's very difficult to understand that too, because we're humans. We are humans, spiritual beings, and we live a physical life, a tangible life. If we want something, we can get it. You know, we just work for it. We, whatever. But what happens with the spiritual? You know, there's certain gifts that we need to pray on. I know I was talking about this as well, where discernment, for me growing up, discernment was something that God had gifted me, but I didn't understand it until I got older and until I actually started turning my life over. But there's some things that we pray for God to gift us. And there's some things that I pray for. Like, I'm like, God, you know, I want to be able to pray like this. I want to be able to speak like this. I want to be able to minister like this. And God's like, well, you have to put the work in. And I'm like, oh, you're right. Forgot about that part. And that's the thing, is that we have to put the work in this relationship and in this walk. So yes, there will be seasons where you feel dry. There will be seasons where you feel burnt out. There will be seasons where you feel tired. And that's where we need to know and lean on. We need to know what rest actually looks like and lean on Jesus. Because like I've mentioned before, and like I say all the time, it's literally, our strength does not amount to any type of strength that God has. And there's even been times where I'm like, God, the same spirit and the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ, please, please, like, please give that to me. And God's like, it literally lives within you. Because if Christ lives within us, then the same spirit, the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ can do the same exact thing for us. But we had to put the work. Jesus died. That was his price. What price are we paying? What sacrifices are we making? You know, what time are you putting in? I found myself, you know, being content creator, being on a computer, iPad, phone for hours, working, creating, doing something, like, constantly. And I messed up my sleep schedule because of that, but we're working on it. It's getting better. But, you know, because of that, there were times where I would forget to have my intimate time with God. I would get to a point where it's like 1, 2 in the morning and I'm like exhausted and go to bed. And then I wake up really tired. And then my day is just kind of like, ugh, you know. But when I started putting in that time to be intimate with the Lord, to actually sit down, kneel down, pray, speak to him, worship, read my word, get so in deep to the things that he wants to reveal to us are crazy. And God will, in the most simplest forms. Like, we do not need to go to a conference, or we do not need to go to a camp, or we do not need to go to any type of event to hear a God. God is literally speaking to us in settings like this: a living room, in our bedroom, in our cars, in our bathrooms. Like, God wants you to let him in. And once you let him in, all those fears and the thoughts and all those things are going to be contradicted with biblical truths. And I learned that in therapy, where Which is so smart, because when I was unlearning things, learning things that I needed to unlearn, it's called fortune telling. It's like a term that they use, which literally it's the name, fortune telling, you know, thinking, trying to figure out the future things. And a lot of the time it's tied to anxiety. I'm a very anxious person when it comes to big settings and things like that, but it is not mine. And over the course of time and working, putting in the work, to understand that it's okay that you don't know what's gonna happen. It's okay that you don't know that conversation is not gonna be horrible. Or if it does end up, know who you serve. You literally serve, one, you serve an on-time God. You also serve a God who sits with you in your comfort, who sits with you in your brokenness, who sits with you when you are hurting, when you are crying. He does not leave you. He does not forsake you. And this was the thing when we were talking about these things, and we were talking about how I tend to fortune tell, where I'm such a, I was just having this conversation of like, you ever like have arguments in the shower with like no one there? Like you plan out your argument, you plan out conversations, or you plan out an event that you're gonna speak at or whatever. Like you kind of have those, it's really your imagination, to be honest. Like you kind of just pre-plan and you plan out because of the fear of what could happen, or of the fear of what you are gonna miss out on saying. And when I was learning all of this and where it stemmed from and every other aspect of it, something that my therapist told me, and this really hit me, was when you have thoughts like that, remember that the enemy is still at work. We do not give him power. We do not give him authority to run in our lives. And our conversations should not always be, the enemy did this, the enemy did that, the enemy's doing this to me right now. It is not. Sometimes we put ourselves in those situations, and you need to take accountability. Note that. Pin. Take accountability for your actions too. Not everything is the devil. Not everything is the devil. But a lot of things are spiritual in our lives. And there are some things, some decisions that we make, that when it doesn't turn out the way we want to blame somebody. We don't take the accountability that it was actually us. So in that, as I was learning all of this, she said to me, when you have these thoughts, when you have thoughts that contradict the word of God, always go back to biblical truths. If you feel like you are not beautiful, what's a verse that you can find that it literally says you are beautiful? You're beautiful and wonderfully made. Beautifully and wonderfully made. Another verse on fear. Well, fear, I learned this a couple years ago, where, very interesting fact, in the Bible, it actually says, do not fear 365 times, which means do not fear should be a thought every single day of our lives. Every single day. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear, for God is with you. And while I was learning to apply biblical truths in my life, now I understand what was actually happening in the spiritual aspect of my life. Thieves do not break into empty homes. Thieves do not break into empty homes. Thieves break into homes where there's something of value. So when the enemy is trying to attack you and the enemy is literally trying to tear you apart, remember that there's something of value in you. And when there's something of value, that means that you need to protect it. And on top of that, you need to make sure that there's a space created for, if there's something of value that you see, you need to make sure that there's a space created for that item or that product that you need to make sure it's secure. Make sure it's guarded. Make sure it's protected. That is the same thing with us. Our protection, one, Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus has already covered us. It's already been shed. So we have to remember that, one, we're already protected. But two, we have to make sure that our space is created for basically us. In the sense that I need to guard my heart. How do I guard my heart? I need to know who guards it. I need to know who is guarding my heart. And who is guarding my heart? God. But I need to know who God is. I need to know who Jesus is. If I want to understand all these other concepts. You can't understand something or think you understand something without knowing who designed it. You can't understand the things of God when you don't know God. It's plain and simple. You need to learn who the designer is. You need to learn who the King of Kings is. You need to learn who the Father is, who your friend is, to know all of the things that come with it. And once you understand those concepts and once you understand those things, now you're going to be able to know, okay, when I'm in a season of fear, when I'm in a season of brokenness, when I'm in a season where things do not make sense, what is God doing? Where is God taking me? And a couple weeks ago, we had an apostle come, and there's something that he said that stuck out to me so much, because a season of my life where God was doing so many things and really just drawing me close to him, God was speaking and had said to me, your obedience is somebody else's blessing. And there was something that this apostle said that reminded me of that season of my life. He said, Your obedience is the greatest form of worship. One of the greatest forms of worship. When you start walking where God wants you to walk, even when it seems uncomfortable, you start to understand, and you literally will feel it too. Like the way you live, the way you walk, the way you talk looks completely different. Your faith looks different. The thoughts that you used to have, suddenly they're not there as often or even at all. But again, this walk, it's a process. You don't flip a switch and it's just, oh, like I'm holy and I'm this, I'm that. You have to continue to literally go back to the root of everything. And your root should always be Christ. Everything that you stand on, every decision you make should always be Jesus. It goes back to the saying, what would Jesus do? Everything, what would Jesus do? He would do things in love. He trusted God's plan. He knew what was going to happen, and yet he still did everything for us. He still made every decision And he made those decisions because he understood the plan that God had for him. And his human nature, you're kind of like, well, shoot, am I really gonna come back to life? Because if I'm gonna die, and you know. But he was like, I have to. And even Jesus himself, he questioned God on the cross. He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? He already did what he had to do. And yet he still doubted God. He still questioned him. Why? Because of his human nature. And it's going to happen. There's going to be times where you question God, where you're like, God, I literally sacrificed what I sacrificed, and how come? Like, are you kidding? Are you joking? And he's like, if you would just wait a little longer, if you would just trust my plan a little bit more, you would understand. And there will be times where you don't understand. There will be times where it's honestly so, so, so terrifying. But it's so worth it. Because in that same process, you start to learn who God is. And there's so many beautiful things that come out of it. There's something I learned was that there are some things, hidden things of God that are not revealed in the Bible. I think it was, we were talking about this a couple days ago, but there's I don't remember it, where there's a verse, I'm trying to think, oh my gosh, but there's a verse in the Bible that talks about how there's so many more things that Jesus did that weren't recorded. And that to me is crazy, because first of all, he was on the earth for, well, recorded, it says that he was around 33 of his death. That's not very long if you think about it. You know, he was 12, and then and preaching and this, that, and the other. But if you really look at it, that's not a long time. And the fact that he did so many more other things than what is already recorded. And there's things that weren't recorded. Like, that right there goes to show that God literally has so many things, so many revelations that are not recorded. And sometimes you have to go into the secret place to really go into the hidden things of God. It's not isolation. But sometimes you need to go off alone and by yourself and literally be with God so that he can reveal things to you in your secret place. Whether it's about you, whether it's about people, whether it's about life, whether it's about the world, the hidden things of God. You need to be in your intimate time with God to have that type of revelation. And to me, that speaks volumes. Because the fact that God is so powerful. God is so, so powerful that there's things that he hasn't even shown us. And why don't we think our lives are not going to work out the way we want it to? If God knows every single step that we're going to take, every single step that we're going to make, What makes us think that we can't trust God when He starts intervening in our lives? What makes us think that we can't trust His plan for us? He's God. He has it all figured out. And this is even speaking to me. Because there's things that, like I was saying, I'm 22 and I'm like, it's not gonna work out for me. It's just not it. Like, you know, certain things don't work out for me. So what makes me think that it's gonna work out for me now? That's my flesh speaking. But I need to remember what God has spoken. And it goes back to Abraham. And I've mentioned this before, and I'll say it time and time again. There's, and for Abraham, he was given a promise, and it wasn't until 25 years later that the promise was completed. And then on top of that, he has to sacrifice it. So you're telling me that I waited 25 years, 25 years for you to take it away, God? Are you joking? I'd be so mad. I'd be so livid with God. But yet Abraham still was willing to sacrifice. Because everything that God blesses us with, every promise that God completes, it's God's to begin with. Abraham's son, that was God's son. So God can take away what He wants to take away because He's God. But He is a God of promise. He's a God who completes His every single promise that He makes. But we need to understand that it's not in our time. So when things are not working out, understand that fear is not, should not have a stronghold. And just like the title, fear is not your future. You are not to be living in fear every single day. And like I said, you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Fear and faith cannot live in the same place. So I just want to close this one out. And I want to pray. So wherever you're at, you could just bow your head, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank You for allowing us to have this moment. God, thank You for just opening up this space to be able to talk about things that are not necessarily touched on as often. God, we thank You for what You're doing in each and every single one of our lives. Thank You for what You're doing in my life and through my life. And God, that You continue to do the same thing in each and every single listener's life. That they understand that their life is living proof of the goodness of You, God. We are living proof. We are evidence of Your goodness. So God, when we're in seasons where it seems like it's not going to be the way we wanted it to be, God, remind us that Your plans are always greater than our plans. God, I pray against any strongholds. I pray against any type of fear in every person's life. God, and I cast it out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we cast out fear. Because we understand that fear cannot live within us when we are living in You. Fear does not have a place in our lives and we walk in obedience, we walk according to your will, to your purpose, to your plans. Because you know every step. You know what isn't going to work out for us, what will work out for us. And God, intervene. Intervene in every single moment. Because we know that you don't disappoint us. Father, forgive us for times where we have been scared and we've blamed you. Forgive us for thinking that you're doing things to hurt us. But God, allow us to remember that it's not to hurt us, but it's to protect us. And we understand that we are your children, and you will protect us like a father. God, we thank you for this space. We thank you for each and every single person's life. God, this episode just serves as a reminder that fear cannot hold us. And we walk by faith. We do not walk by sight. We do not walk by the things that we can only see. God, we walk by faith in trusting you and knowing that you will work it out. So thank you, God, for being so good and always keeping your word and keeping every single promise that you have made. And sometimes as humans, we can't comprehend that or understand that because men will break promise, but you will never break your promises. And thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for always keeping your promises. Because you've been so faithful in every single season. You've been so faithful, God. And we love you and we honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys so much. Like I had said before, make sure to listen to the next EP that's coming out. Because it's going to be good. It's going to be so good. And like I've said before, if you feel it on your heart to tithe and bless this ministry, please do. In the link in the YouTube or in my bio, my Instagram bio. But if you do not feel it in your heart to do so, prayers, please, prayers, prayers, prayers for this podcast. Prayers are more valuable to me. And yeah, I love you guys so much. I love you guys so, so, so much. Have an amazing and blessed week. Bye.